booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. Happy Tuesday. I am Frank Morano.
Hi, Frank Morano. I'm Juliet Huddy. And as you heard, Deb is following the breaking news. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. Sid is up with sports at 5:15. And Frank, I think people will be talking about some of these topics today. The Cuomo sexual harassment probe deepens. And who is behind the so-called Havana Syndrome attacks? The mystery deepens. Also in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40, international travel is reopening to American tourists. Obviously, I've been talking about this nonstop. I'm headed over to Italy next month. The question is, should we go? Should Americans go right now? We're going to get into sort of the ethical conversation about this coming up.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to hearing that because this is a question I've been getting more and more, and I'm sure you are too, not only to travel to Europe, but to all over the world. So I'm looking forward to hearing that discussion. And we'll have a lot more information on the mayor's race, some new polling out, which shows there's a new top dog when it comes to the mayor's race. And you mentioned Governor Andrew Cuomo, Juliet. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of scrutiny in terms of how much money the governor made on his book deal. We have some numbers that we're going to bring to your attention in just a minute. The tell-all book that I want to read, though, is by Joe Nolan, who brings us traffic and transit every 10 minutes on the 7th. Joe, have you ever written a book? I'd love to read that.
No, I have never written a book.
Do you plan on it?
I thought about it, but I don't know. I guess
what's stopping you?
Fiction?
No. I want to hear like a tell-all traffic book.
Well, there's not a lot to tell all about. I mean, you know.
Yeah, what do you think's happening in the traffic world, Frank?
Hey, more than you might think.
There's not, you know, there's really not a lot going on for me to write a book about, but anyway.
Those late-night traffic parties, that's what I want to hear about.
And well, there were a few of those from that time to time. But
I gotta tell you, I know Christina Stoffo and I know Inez Rosales. And
there could be some stories there. Oh, there are. With me and Inez, there's a ton of stories.
Oh, boy.
We used to have a lot of fun. Southbound on the drive, we're slow 110th Street down in the 90s. Unauthorized tractor trailer, that's in the center lane. Van Wyk southbound at Rockaway Boulevard. An accident, one lane going to be out of service. Now, mass transit, everybody running on or close to schedule, including the subways and alternate side of the street. Parking rules once again today are suspended. The support service of Indeed.com. With Indeed Instant Match, you can accelerate the hiring process. Just sponsor a job and you get a list of quality candidates whose resumes Indeed matches your job description. Fast hiring, no speeding tickets. Visit Indeed.com/credit. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7th. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Well, Joe, you know, yesterday I'm sure you were outside for at least a bit. You saw how toasty it was. Today we're going to get even toastier all over the tri-state area. 81 degrees for a high today. A mix of clouds and sun, but we'll see. I think sun mostly popping out there. Wednesday, it's getting up to 87 degrees. We're almost in the 90s at this point with mostly sunny skies. Thursday, 81 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Friday, cooling down just a little bit. We're getting down to 78 degrees with partly cloudy skies. And right now it's 61 degrees in New York City. You know, all in all, it's actually looking pretty decent. We may have some showers on Sunday, but I'll tell you as we get closer to the weekend.
Well, one story you brought to our attention yesterday, Juliet, was the story of the Gay Pride Parade, specifically the decision by the organizers of the Gay Pride Parade to prohibit police groups from marching in the parade itself and the request that police officers, even those on duty, keep their distance from the parade. This did not come as welcome news to New York City Police Commissioner Dermot Shea. She spoke exclusively with WABC's own Rita Cosby last night. This is what Commissioner Shea said in the 77 WABC clip of the day.
Would you ask that hopefully that meeting happens to revisit this?
I think that that's something that the NYPD and Pride organizers are absolutely going to explore.
Oh, there you have it. The commissioner wants a meeting with the organizers. So far, the organizers have given no indication that there will be such a meeting.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Shouldn't it be the New York City Police Department's decision as to whether or not that meeting will happen?
You would think
Call me crazy.
You would think so.
You would think. Moving on now, the investigation into sexual harassment claims against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo getting a bit more intense lately. The New York Times reporting New York's Attorney General Letitia James issued subpoenas for four of his accusers. The move comes after lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, Frank, called for Cuomo to resign, as you know, a few months ago. The governor, of course, says he will do no such thing. The Times also reporting the investigation is expected to wrap up sometime by the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm. I do wonder where all this goes and what the time frame is for this, because, I mean, to think that there's going to be a gubernatorial election next year, that if the Democrats have to make alternative plans for who their candidate is going to be, they're going to have to get going come January or February.
So. Yes, you know, that's absolutely true. The other thing is I was listening to the governor's news conference yesterday. I would suggest if I was his handler to just keep his mouth shut. Just say there is an investigation going on and I'm not going to comment on this, because he is just digging himself deeper into a hole every time he opens his mouth on that subject.
Well, Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams, who will be on with Dominic Carter tonight at midnight, you can listen to that interview exclusively right here on WABC, leads a pack of Democrats in a new mayoral poll of likely voters ahead of the June primary. Adams is in first at 18% in the PIX 11 Emerson College survey, while one-time leader Andrew Yang is tied for second place with city controller Scott Stringer at 15%. In March, Yang was at 32% in the same poll. Stringer, who's also been accused of sexual misconduct by a former campaign volunteer, doubled his support from the March survey. 17% of those surveyed say they don't like any of the Democrats running for City Hall.
I want to talk about some national news now. There's another, well, actually, it's international news, frankly. There's another case of that mysterious Havana syndrome. CNN reporting Monday, this one targeted a member of the National Security Council, another member of the National Security Council, back in November of 2020. And apparently they were passing through a gate onto the White House property when they got this sonic attack. The syndrome got its name, Frank, as you know, after dozens of U.S. and Canadian diplomats and staffers down in Cuba began reporting strange occurrences, almost like a sonic attack. So far, officials say the sensory maladies have affected more than 100 U.S. diplomats, spies, and troops around the globe. Intel officials are worried because the attacks appear to be getting more serious and are happening now on U.S. soil. Some of the victims have reported chronic headaches, and medical experts admit that they have seen, they've done some studies on these people, and they've seen inexplicable brain injuries on some of them. CNN also reporting victims have experienced sudden vertigo and head pressure, and sometimes a, quote, piercing directional noise that they can escape by moving to a different room or a different area, but will experience again if they go back to that original area. It is very, very strange. The New York Times reported the number of incidents across the world is increasing, seems to be targeting mainly Americans, some Canadians as well, including this one episode taking place overseas recently in just the last couple of weeks. There have been reports of cases in Russia, China, and Europe as well.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is being paid $5.1 million for his book on the coronavirus pandemic, according to tax filings. The Democratic governor reported $3.21 million in earnings last year, with an expected $1 million coming each of the next 2 years. Titled American Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic, the book focuses on Cuomo's time in office since the coronavirus outbreak. There have been allegations he used public resources and members of his own staff to get the book completed. He also faces ongoing questions about whether the true number of nursing home deaths was covered up.
Well, the self-proclaimed Florida Firebrand's former wingman sealed his deal Monday. Joel Greenberg, who used to pal around with Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz quite a bit, appeared in federal court down in Orlando yesterday. As predicted, he pleaded guilty to six charges, including sex trafficking of a minor and paying an underage girl to have sex with him and, quote, other men. The deal allows him to avoid the other 30-something charges. So obviously, you know, he is spilling the beans. This could be very bad news for Matt Gaetz. The feds are investigating whether the Republican was part of the nefarious events involving Greenberg, which also reportedly included doing coke and ecstasy at parties following political events. On top of that, Gates is being eyed for his connections to the medical marijuana sector, specifically whether maybe there was ill behavior, including some of his pals. Greenberg's deal, obviously, Frank, as you know, means that he is going to be dishing the dirt on his fellow, I guess you could say, dirt bags. He's also going to be registering as a sex offender. So he is in big trouble, but also the heat is on Matt Gaetz, apparently.
Who says Republicans don't know how to party? Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, I've known a few myself, and they do.
Somebody who certainly in his day knew how to party is responsible for sports at 15 and 45 at this and every hour, the one and only Sid Rosenberg. Hello there, Sid. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. Let's start with our Mets after losing their seven-game win streak. Back in the win column yesterday, beat the Braves 3-1, but more injuries. T'Juan Walker, who's been pitching great, three innings of scoreless work, had to leave the game with left side tightness. Kevin Villar took a 95-mile-per-hour fastball right in the face. He had to leave the game. The Mets are just beat up all over the place, but they got a big double from James McCann in the seventh, and that got him going last night.
McCann yanks one down the line. That's a fair ball going into the corner, and the Mets will grab the lead. Nito is in. McCann to second. He takes the turn and holds on there. A pinch hit RBI double for James McCann, and the Mets catchers with back-to-back two-base hits, and the Mets score the first run of the game. It's 1-0 New York in the seventh.
Gary Cohen, SNY, Met catchers, big night. Three hits for Nito, McCann the hit. The Mets beat the Braves 3-1. They improve now to 19-16. They're a game up on the Phillies in the NL East. The Yankees, not so good, lost to Texas 5-2. Rough outing for Gerrit Cole, their ace. Gave up five earned and seven hits over five innings of work. Here was Cole after the game.
I threw some good curveballs. I threw some terrible ones. I threw a good slider, and I threw a bad one. I threw a good fastball. I just couldn't string, you know, wasn't stringing three, four, or five pitches together in a row.
Cole is now 5-2 with a 2.03 ERA on the season. Yankees in Texas again later. Yanks are 22-19. They're in fourth inside the American League East. The Eastern playoff series start tonight. The play-in games in the NBA, the Hornets and the Pacers, then the Wizards and the Celtics. The winner of that one, by the way, will take on the Brooklyn Nets. To be determined when the Knicks and Hawks will start their playoff series. Game two tonight for the Islanders in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. The Isles got an overtime win in game one. And more bad news for Bob Baffert. Now he's been suspended from entering any of his horses at any New York track, including Belmont, Aqueduct, and Saratoga coming up this summer. This all after Medina Spirit tested positive for steroids after winning the Kentucky Derby. That horse, by the way, came in third at the Preakness. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. Check them out at peerlessboilers.com, paviliontankless.com. At 15 and 45 with sports, I'm Sid.
At 5:17, time for traffic and transit on the 7s. Here's Joe Nolan.
Slow, very slow, from the 1-teens all the way down into the 90s. An unauthorized tractor-trailer against center lane going to be out southbound on the Van Wyck approaching Rockaway Boulevard. An accident with one lane out of service. We had a problem at the Lincoln Tunnel. They had it shut off there for a couple of seconds with police activity. They've now reopened it, but still a little bit of a delay now coming inbound at the Lincoln. Over in New Jersey, southbound Route 21 at Chester Avenue in Newark, that accident continues. And then northbound on the A trains are express only from Euclid Avenue to Broadway Junction. That with a broken rail. And alternate side of the street parking rules again today are suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much, Joseph. All right, Frank's got his biz coming up in momentarily, and he's going to be talking about, again, the hottest topic, Elon Musk and cryptocurrency. Also coming up in your Jet Set, Julia, travel update at 5:40. Should you hold off on that big summer trip to Europe? Especially should you hold off if you booked for the next couple of weeks. Also, if you're planning a trip to Mexico, you better listen up.
This is the WABC Early News.
Investors are waiting the opening bell after oil prices soared to their highest level in more than 2 years yesterday. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones lost 54 points. The S&P 500 slipped 10 points. And the NASDAQ lost 50 points. A new cryptocurrency is looking to take down Tesla CEO Elon Musk. Listen to this. It's called Stop Elon. And as its name implies, it aims to put the brakes on Musk's ability to sway the Bitcoin market. It was created after Musk's comments about Bitcoin caused massive sell-offs, sending Bitcoin prices plunging. Stop Elon's creators blame Musk for toying with people's portfolios and call him a, quote, narcissistic billionaire. Juliet.
Well, the trial for suspected serial killer Robert Durst kicked up again yesterday after a 14-month COVID pause out in Los Angeles. Curiously, Durst wasn't there. The judge says Durst simply would not leave his jail cell. Durst's attorneys say the judge is wrong. They claim that he has bladder cancer and he couldn't leave. At any rate, the prosecutors revealed some shocking new revelations. Now, there had been, of course, revelations and or allegations that Durst had killed his wife back in 1982. Well, new revelations include accusing Durst's brother and father, both of whom New York City real estate scions, of helping Durst cover up that murder of his wife, Kathy, back in 1982. So this is going to get very, very interesting. And by the way, the trial is actually focusing on the murder of Susan Berman, who happened to be a longtime close friend of Robert Durst's, who was shot in the back of the head about 20 years ago or so.
Well, our colleague Rudy Giuliani is not at all happy with how prosecutors are handling the possible criminal probe into his conduct in the involving Ukraine. Rudy Giuliani, who can be heard every day right here on this radio station at 3 p.m., opened a broad attack on the searches that federal investigators conducted of his home, his office, and his iCloud account, asking a judge to block any review of the seized records while his lawyers determine whether there was a legitimate basis for the warrants, according to a filing made public yesterday. According to a letter filed by his attorneys, Robert Costello and Arthur Idala, such an allegation on its face strains credulity. It is not only false, but extremely damaging to Giuliani's reputation. It's not supported by any credible facts and is contradicted by Giuliani's efforts to provide information to the government. That has to do with the basis for the search warrant in the first place and the assertion that Giuliani would destroy evidence in the second place.
Well, this is just a story that horrified Texans, and frankly, it horrified everyone else who heard about it. A little boy found dead on a Dallas street, killed, cops say, with a, quote, edged weapon. And now they say they know who did this despicable act and how it all went down. The local affiliate there, WFAA, reporting that the 4-year-old was kidnapped while he slept by 18-year-old Darren Brown. This happened over the weekend, this past weekend. The boy's mom says it was a random act. The little guy's body was discovered battered and bloodied in the street near his home by a jogger early Saturday. Brown is currently being held on a $750,000 bond. And by the way, he was wearing an ankle bracelet at the time of the kidnapping and murder based on a previous charge. Horrible.
Yeah, that is horrible.
When this broke on Sunday, I was reading about it and I burst into tears. I mean, then you see this little boy's picture and it's just heartbreaking.
The Roman Catholic Diocese of Brooklyn wants the NYPD to beef up its presence near churches. The calls come after two acts of vandalism occurred in 3 days. The most recent incident happened over the weekend at the diocese's administrative office, where a statue of baby Jesus' head was cut off. The incident is being investigated as a hate crime.
You know, Frank, we haven't really discussed this. I mean, 4 days, I think it was, after standing firm on his mask mandate, Governor Cuomo agreed yesterday to let us shed ours starting Wednesday. Why Wednesday? No clue. But the CDC says people still need to wear masks on planes, buses, trains, and other public transport, as well as hospitals and long-term care facilities. Other new guidance that doesn't really seem to be getting a whole ton of play, but I think it's important. No need to get tested or quarantine when traveling domestically, when you fly, and no need to take a test before leaving the U.S. unless it's required by the country you're visiting, which is also interesting. The CDC also nixed requirements to self-quarantine after arriving back in the U.S. from outside of the country. Important, these rules are for fully vaccinated people only.
Well, Governor Phil Murphy in New Jersey is not necessarily following Governor Andrew Cuomo's lead in this respect. He says New Jersey is making incredible progress vaccinating people against COVID, but not enough. That's why he's sticking with the indoor mask mandate, regardless of the latest CDC guidelines, which would allow fully vaccinated people to unmask indoors. He says that since a majority of New Jerseyans still haven't rolled up their sleeves to be vaccinated, with only 3.8 million residents fully vaccinated, they are keeping the mandates in place. Meantime, the governor did lift the outdoor mask mandate, saying people only need to wear masks outside if they're visiting with loved ones in medical facilities.
That's why I feel like this vaccine passport is helpful. I mean, why can't you just get something where, you know, you walk around and you say, oh, no, I've had my vaccine. Let me wear my mask, or let me not wear my mask. Anyway, following up on a story that we brought you last week, the case of the missing child, Madeline McCann. The little British girl disappeared without a trace from a vacation resort in Portugal back in 2007. Her mom and dad recently, I think I told you this a couple weeks ago, celebrated what would have been her 18th birthday. And they may have something else to celebrate soon. Police investigating the case have reportedly been given new evidence involving their prime suspect. This guy is a convicted rapist. He's in his 40s. His name is Christian Bruckner. He's currently in prison in Germany for something else. A prosecutor says there has been a significant breakthrough regarding Bruckner and the McCann case, but he can't elaborate except to say it strengthens their case. And now The Sun out of the UK is reporting that the breakthrough is phone evidence tracking Bruckner while he was in Portugal, allegedly at the same time as Maddie's disappearance. This could be huge, huge information.
Well, speaking of huge information, that's precisely what Joe Nolan has for you on the sevens as he brings you all the latest traffic and transit information. How's it looking this morning, Joe?
All right, Frank, and on the drive southbound, we're slowed from the 110s down into the 90s. An unauthorized tractor trailer. The center lane is out on the Van Wyck southbound approaching Rockaway Boulevard. An accident. Again, one lane closed there. Route 21 southbound approaching Chester Avenue, an accident. Two lanes are out. That is in Newark. Some mass transit troubles now. The Transit Authority, downtown D, there are delays. And on the downtown N and Q, they're on the local tracks. Switching trouble at 34th Street and then the path. There are delays Newark to World Trade Center. That because of communication issues. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations are suspended. This report is a service of Indeed.com. With Indeed Instant Match, you can accelerate the hiring process. Just sponsor a job, and you'll get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Fast hiring, no speeding tickets. Visit Indeed.com/credit. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Were you a fan of Friends, the show Friends?
Actually, no, I was not, but it was one of those things where it was kind of on in the house at the time. And
I was just sort of
sitting there and watching, but I was not a fan. No.
Well, it hasn't been on the air for, 20 years at this point, but the TV show is still causing controversy. I'll tell you about that. Also, coming up in your Jet Set, Julia, travel update at 5:40. When can American tourists travel safely and ethically to European hotspots? But first, let's head over to the news desk for Deb's headlines.
From the 77 WABC Early News Desk, I'm Deborah Valentine. A woman attending an outdoor vigil for a homicide victim fatally shot in her head during a drive-by shooting. This happened in the Weeksville section of Brooklyn about 11 last night. 32-year-old Shalimar Burkett pronounced dead at Brookdale University Hospital, and so far no arrests. New York is adopting those CDC mask guidelines after all. Vaccinated folks no longer have to wear masks indoors or outdoors. Now, that happens as of tomorrow. That's when this officially takes effect. And New York Governor Cuomo in New York City yesterday for this announcement, but he said he bets 4 out of 10 people will continue to mask up anyway.
So, yeah, it goes into effect Wednesday. I will wager you on your walk to work, at least 40% of the people are still wearing masks. $10. Be honest on the count.
Also resuming the New York City Marathon. That'll be at 60% capacity. Sign-up begins on June 8th. Also resuming the Tribeca Film Festival, and theaters and arenas can move to full capacity 100% for vaccinated people. Non-vaccinated people must be kept 6 feet apart. New York's top cop, Dermot Shea, thinks the additional 250 cops being added to the New York City subway system is adequate. He told that to 77 WABC host Rita Cosby yesterday. Fox is next.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. Israel and Hamas carry out more attacks this morning after President Biden told Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu he supports a ceasefire.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says the objective is for the U.S. to be as constructive as possible.
And a great deal of that is going to be through intensive, quiet diplomacy behind the scenes.
Virginia Democrat Tim Kaine is one of 28 Senate Democrats calling for an immediate stop to the fighting.
Fox's Jared Halperin. A gunman shot and injured two sheriff's deputies in Maryland as they tried to serve a warrant yesterday.
When officers arrived, they were led into the home by family. And as they were walking toward the room the man was in, he came out, started shooting, and officers returned fire.
Lindsay Watts with Fox 5 DC. The gunman's dead. The deputies are expected to survive. America's listening to Fox News.
And informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everybody. It's WABC Early News. It is 5:32. I'm Juliet Huddy along with Frank Morano. Frank, do you know on this day, May 18th, 1804, Napoleon Bonaparte proclaimed Emperor of France by the French Senate?
Well, I did not know that.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that.
I appreciate that.
I
did learn today that Napoleon was not nearly as short as everybody thinks that he was.
That is actually true.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a huge fan of Josephine Bonaparte. that's a weird thing to say. But I love reading books about her. I find her very, very interesting.
Well,
so if you've ever been interested in reading any books about Napoleon, I would suggest reading some books about Josephine. But Napoleon was 5'6". He wasn't like 5'2". Or anything.
I read today that he was 5'7".
Well, I guess, I used to be 5'8". Now I'm 5'7". It's an age thing.
I'm 5'7". And look, I'm not as tall as I'd prefer to be, especially my dad is very tall. I've kept waiting my whole life for this growth spurt that has never arrived.
Mm.
But I don't feel like I'm super. I don't feel like I'm Danny DeVito height. You know, I feel like I'm a normal height. And back then, 140 years ago, 150 years ago,
That was a very
normal height back
then. I mean, we've turned into gargantuans compared to the way things used to be.
Yeah, so give Napoleon a break.
Give him a break. Coming up in your Jet Set Julia travel update, by the way, how you can be a smart and ethical traveler this summer. And also, if you're planning a trip to Cancun or anywhere around there, it's really important that you listen to this Jet Set Julia travel report. Yeah, there's some concerning news. And I'll tell you what that is.
All right.
Why? Would you like me to go on with the news?
No, I can. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know if we were breaking or not. The Empire State Building run-up.
Why would we break at 5:34?
I don't know. I mean,
you just felt...
You said it kind of like a tease.
I always do that at 5:32.
All right. Well, the Empire State Building run-up is returning. This is the 43rd year of the race that has 1,576 steps to the top or to the 86th floor. Last year's race was canceled because of COVID, so runners selected in 2020 can now use that lottery spot for this year. Registration opens up on June 1st with the race set to take place on October 26th.
Well, it hasn't been on the air for about two decades, but the TV show Friends is still causing controversy, apparently. Some folks have expressed upset, let's say, over the fact that during its nine seasons, there were only two or so, I think it was two episodes featuring a black person. The upcoming reunion special, airing later this month, is stoking the flames again, apparently. The cast is going to be joined by a slew of celebrities making cameos, including everyone from Justin Bieber to Lady Gaga. And they've also booked some minorities among them, including the K-pop band BTS, and also Pakistani activist Malala Yousafzai. But upon closer inspection, there is not a single black person. People have noticed this, and critics have taken to Twitter and other sites to vent their unhappiness. So if you're still down to watch Chandler, Monica, and the rest of the crew, Friends, the reunion airs May 27th on HBO Max.
Well, I'm unclear. So this is a they're making a – is it a movie? Is it a series of new episodes?
It's just a one-off. It's just a one-off reunion special.
But it's not an interview. It's an actual recreation of the show.
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the MTA needs to pull its own weight when it comes to making the transit system safer. He says it's been a year and a half since the agency has approved hiring additional MTA officers. He adds the MTA has a police force of its own, but must focus officers where commuters are, which is on the subways. This comes after the mayor announced the NYPD will be adding 250 officers to underground patrols.
We have another royal alert. Christian, do we have time to do this royal alert, or should we wait a little bit? Oh, let's do it. No. This will just not do. Prince Charles, who would become king when his mother, Queen Elizabeth, passes the throne or passes away, well, he apparently has lost his mind. The heir to the throne is reportedly planning to open up several royal palaces to the peasantry, to the public. I don't know if he is just reeling from Prince Harry's latest revelations that Charles was a cruddy dad, or he's just been out in the sun too long tending his vast gardens at Highgrove House, his country home. But we cannot have this, Frank. Insiders say the 72-year-old is actually considering opening Buckingham Palace to the public, all 770 rooms. What?
What is the problem with opening?
Even while he's in residence, Frank. We cannot have the riffraff walking through the hallowed halls of private residences. Can you imagine? You're taking a tour and the king walks out in his bathrobe looking for a page to get some tea and there you are?
I think that's pretty neat, actually.
We cannot have this.
That actually makes me want to go on the tour. The prospect
Us, the monarchists, we cannot have this. This is unacceptable.
Those of us that think that the taxpayers should get something for what they're paying for, we're all for
mind.
Exactly. All right. Well, somebody that lost his mind long ago still able to bring us the traffic on the sevens. That's Joe Nolan. How's it look this morning, Joe?
Well, good news on the drive. That earlier truck that was there, again, trucks don't belong on the FDR drive, and that is now cleared. So all lanes have been reopened southbound on the FDR drive coming down into the 90s. Now, if you're on the Van Wyck at Rockaway Boulevard, there was a collision there. Looks like that might be out of the way now as well. Just it's on the off-ramp now at Rockaway Boulevard. Also delays on Route 22 in New Jersey eastbound coming away from Morris Avenue to Vauxhall Road. There's some late running construction. As a result, there are delays. If you're on Route 21 in Newark southbound coming into Chester Avenue, an accident investigation. Two lanes are out. Transit Authority delays on the D, the N, and the Q. Delays on the path as well. Newark to World Trade and alternate side again today is suspended. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joseph. All right, Frank is going to tell us about housing starts and how the housing market's looking in just a moment. But first, I want to give you the weather forecast and also Jet Set Juliet coming up momentarily. Here's how it's looking right now from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Absolutely glorious today. It'll be 81 degrees, a mix of clouds and sun. Wednesday, we're getting up to 87 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Thursday, dropping down to a chilly 81 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. Friday is actually looking pretty nice so far, 78 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. Saturday looking kind of cloudy, 80 degrees. We might have some rain on Sunday, but I'll tell you as we get closer. Meantime, it is currently 52 degrees in the beautiful town of Huntington, Long Island. Frank.
Oil prices are up to their highest levels in more than 2 years. Didn't have much of an effect on the stock market yesterday, though. The Dow Jones off slightly at 54 points, the S&P 500 slipping 10 points, and the Nasdaq losing 50 points. Housing starts for April are due today, and housing industry analysts are expected to see a decline. The experts forecast a 2.3% decline to an annualized level of 1.69 million homes. That report will be out at 8:30 this morning.
And it is time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Juliet Huddy TV. I'll give you more details and pictures and information. Let's start with some breaking news. If you're planning to head to Mexico, listen up. The state of Quintana Roo, which is home to Cancun and Playa del Carmen and other major hotspots, especially for travelers that come from the East Coast that want to go to Mexico, this area may be locking down again imminently. The government is discussing the plan right now, and if they do, you are going to need to cancel, most likely. Officials blame 5 weeks in increasing infection numbers on Easter travel. And the winner of the FAA's most expensive bad behavior fine is a passenger on a Christmas time flight from Hawaii to Seattle. The passenger allegedly tried to bust down the cockpit door and hit a flight attendant not once but twice. The second time after he managed to wriggle out of handcuffs put on with the help of other flight attendants and a passenger. When the flight landed, bad behavior boy or girl, we're not sure which, was arrested. He or she has been issued a civil fine of $52,000. $52,000. Okay. Moving on now to an issue that hasn't been getting a lot of play, but I think it's really important to visit. It is really an ethical issue. Europe is opening up to tourists. Great. But should we go right now? Now, you guys know, I just assumed that since my husband and I have been vaccinated, that we would be received with open arms by our friends in Rome and Florence and Venice when we arrive in mid-June. And we will be. Problem is, there are others in Italy who aren't so thrilled about American tourists or tourists coming in. I got into a Twitter spat with a travel expert based in Italy named Robin, who chided me for being selfish and thinking only about going on my Italian vacation, not the health of the unvaccinated Italians. And she was not only just referring to me, she was referring to anybody that's thinking about going over to her country. The fact is, as much as I was getting so annoyed with her comments, she did open my eyes to the reality of what's happening on the ground there and in other countries around the world. Despite the Italian government rolling out the red carpet to leisure travelers, in reality, the country is still facing a major challenge as far as vaccination availability. And Robin says with places like restaurants and bars, museums and beaches all open, but with limited capacity, it's going to mean less space for unvaccinated locals. However, she understands that, you know, the massive stress on the economy has been a big problem for Italy. We've got a slew of friends in Venice, which relies heavily on tourism, as you probably know. Our friends are messaging us daily, telling us, please, yes, come. You know, we can't wait. Tell all your friends. So really, the conundrum is what to do. I am taking our trip. I am relying on the advice of my friends who, you know, they know that we do care deeply about them and about the Italian people. You know, but John and I have made some adjustments to keep ourselves from interfering with the locals the way Robin has suggested that Americans and other people who are coming over might do. Number one, we're staying at Airbnbs, which, you know, is basically less of a chance of us being on top of people. Number two, we're going to be spending time at our friends' homes, which keeps us out of the public domain. And not everybody has that option, but that's something that we are going to be doing. Number three, many of our friends own restaurants, and we will, and I promise you this, because I'm going to be doing a lot of shooting while we're over there, we're going to insist that locals take precedence. If locals don't want to, aren't clamoring to get into our friend's restaurant, then we'll go in. Otherwise, we'll just go out to our little terrace on our Airbnb and we'll invite some of our friends over. One important note. Again, this is a big one. We're vaccinated. So frankly, we're a lot more welcome, I guess you could say, than Americans who are not. Right now, all that's required to get into Italy as a tourist, you have to take a PCR test within 72 hours of departing from JFK. You have to take a rapid test right before boarding and one when you arrive at the airport in Italy. But as we all know, you may not show a positive result right away. Once you've been exposed, you know, it takes a few days or a week or so. So my advice, honestly, if you're not vaccinated, I would wait to travel internationally at least until July when we see what happens a month or two after the recent reopenings. And by the way, if you do end up testing positive once you arrive at the airport in Italy or in Paris or wherever, you're not going to get back on a plane to America, my friends. You're going to be quarantining in Italy or in Paris or wherever you've gone. The chances of that happening to vaccinated passengers is minimal, but to unvaccinated passengers, it's a lot more likely. A couple more tips. Think about what happens if, God forbid, you get hurt while you're on vacation. What's the local medical scene like? Will you be treated or are hospitals packed still? Number two, if you're the type that shows up to the gate half an hour before boarding like Frank, you're probably going to be in trouble. Flying internationally requires a ton of new documentation. You got to fill out a lot of paperwork. You got to wait on a lot of different lines. And if you're missing or unable to complete some of this paperwork, your vacation is dead in the water before you even get a chance to leave. Also, quickly, I know, Christian, I've got to wrap up, but remember, countries just opening up will still be locked down to some degree. It's not going to be the typical Juliet and John trip to Venice. You know, we're okay with that because we have pals there. That makes a difference. But a lot of folks will be strangers in a strange country with strange rules, and it may be challenging and disappointing. And if you're concerned, I'm going to post a great article by the Points Guy on my Twitter. It'll give you updated details about vaccination levels and countries allowing American tourists. That's it for your Jet Set Juliet travel update.
Wow. That's quite a travel update.
More from Juliet on a wide variety of issues in just a moment. But first, here's Sid Rosenberg with sports.
All right, Frank and Juliet. Not often you hear Gerrit Cole get roughed up. He may be the best pitcher in baseball with the Yanks right there with Jacob DeGrom. But the Texas Rangers hit him hard last night. Five innings pitched, five earned runs, seven hits. Suffered just his second loss of the season. Now pitching to an ERA of just over two. It was Aaron Boone on his Aces start last night.
I think he was just in the zone, you know, probably a little too much, you know, with some two-strike situations where, you know, credit to them. They were really aggressive and got off some good swings.
Again, the Rangers beat the Yankees 5-2. With the loss, the Yanks have dropped two in a row. They're 22-19. They're in fourth inside the American League East. A better outcome for the Mets, but again, more injuries. Starter Tawan Walker, three innings, no runs. He's pitching great this year. He leaves with left side tightness. Kevin Pillar takes a fastball, 95 miles per hour across the face. The Mets are getting beat up all over the place, but they won last night. They beat the Braves by a final score of 3-1, and the Mets at 19-16 remain in first place atop the NL East, one game better than Joe Girardi's Phillies and three games better than the Braves. They'll play the Braves again later on tonight. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. The Islanders eked out an overtime win, game one in Pittsburgh against the Penguins. Tonight, game two, here's Isles head coach Barry Trotz.
Today it will be about, let's get our bodies right. Let's get our minds in the right place for tomorrow. We didn't do anything. We won one hockey game. We've got a lot of improvement in some areas.
NBA playoffs tonight, the play-in games, Hornets and Pacers, Wizards and Celtics. The winner of that one takes on the Brooklyn Nets. And finally, Bob Baffert in even more trouble. Now he's been suspended from entering his horses at any New York track. That includes a third leg of the Triple Crown, the Belmont, the Aqueduct Racetrack as well, and Saratoga coming up this summer. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Borders. Check them out today, peerlessborders.com, paviliontankless.com. Sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
547, with all the traffic and transit news you need to know, here's Joe.
BQE northbound up at Queens Boulevard, an accident one lane out on the Van Wyck southbound at Rockaway Boulevard. A tractor-trailer car accident on that off-ramp there. The right lane also going to be blocked with emergency equipment. In Newark, southbound Route 21 at Chester Avenue, an accident with two lanes out. There's an accident investigation along with that one. Eastbound Route 22, bumper-to-bumper from the parkway through Vauxhall Road. Again, construction one lane out. Transit Authority, delays on the D, the N, the Q, path delays, Newark World Trade, and alternate side is suspended. This supportive service of Wendy's Breakfast. Wendy's Frosty Chino is a cold brew frosty creamer, so you wake up with a breakfast baconator, seasoned potatoes, and a little frosty in your coffee, and it makes your good morning great. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's at participating U.S. Wendy's. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7, Talk Radio 77, WABC.
Oh, Joe, a bunch of different things are coming back, and Sid, a.k.a. Hollywood, you better come back into the studio and listen up because you are going to be so excited to hear what is coming back. I'll tell you after the break.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
77 WABC News Time 551. Let's get a check of the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It is going to be a warm day. 82 degrees now is the updated forecast. Sunny with a few clouds here and there. Not anything to worry about. Wednesday, we're looking at 87 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Thursday, 81 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. Friday, we're getting back down to the 70s, but we will be in the high 70s, 78 or so, with a mix of clouds and sun. We could have some showers on Saturday, but I'll keep you updated the closer we get. Currently, it is 60 degrees, and again, will be sunny and warm today in New York City.
A baseball card collection is expected to hit it out of the park at auction. Memory Lane Auction says the collection, put together by a Florida neurologist who passed away in January, is valued at more than $20 million. In the lineup is a 1933 Babe Ruth card in near-perfect condition, which Memory Lane believes will break the $5.2 million record for any sports card. A total of more than 1,000 vintage and modern sports cards will be up for grabs. The online public auction gets started on June 21st.
Well, that's interesting that you brought that up because Target has announced that it is canceling Pokemon. It's not what you think, though. Apparently, a group of trading card lovers got into some kind of brawl in one of their Wisconsin stores, one of Target's Wisconsin stores. So the company issued a statement recently saying, out of an abundance of caution, they are temporarily suspending the sale of MLB, NFL, NBA, and Pokemon trading cards, but they will still be available online, just not in the stores. Now, I had no idea that this was such a massive industry to the point where people were fighting in the aisles, but apparently, Frank, the value of trading cards blew up during the COVID lockdown. Mm. Late last year, a rare Pokemon card sold for $360,000. Another one earlier this year sold for almost $400,000.
That's crazy.
That
did go hand in hand with the explosion in value we saw and the explosion of interest we saw in the baseball trading card market as well.
Did you just drop your microphone?
I did. Sorry.
That's okay.
All right. It looks like the perfect Uber ride took place in Florida. Kyle Gross told WPBF-TV she saved a kitten. Kylie Gross said she saved a kitten near Miami after they were running through traffic. But the closest shelter that would take them was about 80 miles away in Jupiter. She was willing to do the drive, but had to go to work. So she called an Uber. She said she figured if she could use the rideshare company, so could a cat. The driver, Jose Jimenez, told her he was willing to go anywhere to make sure the kitten was safe. The Furry Friends Rescue took to Facebook to say the kitten, who is now named Uber, is doing well.
Oh, how sweet.
Absolutely.
The New York City Marathon has had a rough few years, as you know. It was canceled back in 2012 because of Hurricane Sandy. And, of course, it was called off again last year because of COVID. But life is starting to get back to normal, and that includes the New York City Marathon. The New York Roadrunners announced Monday that it is going to host a field of 33,000 runners for the race's 50th anniversary. That is a reduced number, only about 60%, but, you know, whatever, it's a start. And if you're not a fan of the marathon, maybe this news will send you frolicking down the street with glee. I know Sid is already rocking back and forth in the fetal position in a corner. He is so excited about this. BravoCon, featuring the so-called Bravo celebrities from across the nation, is back in the Big Apple. You know, you've heard of Comic-Con, right? Well, it's the reality version of that. The weekend extravaganza for Bravo fanatics takes place October 15th through the 17th. What is on this year's agenda? I don't know specifically, but if it is anything like the last one in 2019, perhaps a table throwing demonstration by Teresa Giudice, maybe. I mean, Sid would be great as a host of this, a Men of Bravo panel, you know, Real Housewives fashion show or something like that. Frank, you're not a fan of this stuff, are you?
No, I'm not. But I'm not knocking it. I mean, I'm in whatever people want to be into. I say, God bless you.
I fought with John, my husband, for 3 years over my watching of these shows. One day he sat down and he is riveted now. Cannot stop watching, just like Sid.
Well, look, it's very popular, so clearly there's a huge market for it. I'm sure a lot of people will attend.
I think it makes him appreciate me more by watching this show, some of these shows.
The oldest prisoner in the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center will be released. Saifullah Paraka has been cleared for release by the Prisoner Review Board. The 73-year-old Pakistani has been in custody at Guantanamo for more than 16 years on suspicion of having ties to Al-Qaeda. He's never been charged. Paraka was a wealthy businessman who lived in Pakistan and then in New York City. He was captured in Thailand in 2003 and accused of helping two of the conspirators in the 9/11 attacks.
He was attacked by racists for years, and now we know the truth about Johnny Cash's first wife. There has been some DNA testing, and it has revealed Vivian Liberto wasn't just Sicilian, German, and Irish, but was also black and actually descended from slaves via her great-great-grandmother. Liberto met the musician in 1951. She was 17. He was 19. They were married from 54, I believe, till 66. In 1965, white supremacists boycotted his music because of the fact that they felt he was married to a black woman. Cash sued for libel, and he had to provide evidence of her whiteness in a multimillion dollar suit. But again, now the DNA evidence is out, and she is indeed, was indeed a black woman.
So did Johnny Cash actually win that libel suit because she was white?
I didn't follow up on that.
That's interesting. Because if he did win, He should have to give the money back now. His
estate.
Well,
he's not alive anymore.
Well, his estate should have to give it back.
Let's not push that. Like, good Lord.
No, but seriously, I mean, if he
I mean, that was a ridiculous law.
It was. All right. 557, somebody that is rarely ridiculous, is Joe Nolan, who has all the latest traffic information for you. Hello there, Joe.
I think my wife might have something to say about that, but we'll see. Deacon southbound via Cortland Park, again an accident. One lane going to be out of service. Also on the Henry Hudson southbound at 96th Street now. That's the West Side Highway. A collision also being cleared. On the Van Wyck southbound at Rockaway Boulevard, an accident. The ramp in the right lane out, a tractor trailer and a car involved in that one. PQE northbound, a crash at Queens Boulevard, left and center lane. Out. There's another one over in New Jersey on Chester Avenue at Route 121. Two lanes are out. That's an accident investigation. And then eastbound Route 22, bumper to bumper from the Parkway to Vauxhall Road with construction, one lane out. Transit Authority, delays on the D, the N, and the Q, and the pass system. Delays between Newark and the World Trade Center and alternate side again today is suspended. The support of service of Whole Foods Market. Simplify your dinner prep at Whole Foods Market. Get responsibly farmed, previously frozen cooked shrimp for $14.99 a pound through May 18th, plus an extra 10% off for Prime members. While supplies last, learn more at Whole Foods Market app. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Hey, Frank, I have to tell you, there is some audio that we're going to play. It's about a story of a passenger, an airline passenger, behaving badly.
If this is Rick Schroeder, I don't want to hear it.
It's not.
Okay.
It is not. It is, it's just some random, but I guess he came from the New York area and they're in big trouble. You know, I just told you about some passenger getting fined $52,000.
Wow.
This guy is going to be, in big trouble.
All right. I have the latest for you on what's happening in the Middle East. Some not so great news. I'll tell you about it. Also, some news related to the New York City mayoral race. I'll tell you about that. But in the meantime, Deb Valentine has all your local news. But before we get to Deb, here's all the latest national and international news courtesy of Fox News Radio.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. Tuesday morning, this is the WABC Early News. A ton of news coming your way, including some local political news that will shake the foundations of Albany.
Wow. Well, Deb is following breaking news, and Christian and Gabby are at the controls. I'm Juliet Huddy. Sid will be in with sports at 6:15. I think people are going to be talking about this trending news, exciting news on the COVID battlefront, including a new seek and destroy therapy, which sounds awesome. And the probe into Cuomo's sex harassment allegations deepens. Plus, a drama unfolds on a flight from JFK, and it's narrated by the pilot himself, and you're going to hear it.
Well, fascinating. Yeah. If you're not taking a plane to work today, you may need the words of wisdom of Joe Nolan. Joe, why is alternate side of the street parking suspended today? Do we know?
Is that right? S-H-A-V-U-O-T, right?
Shavuot. Shavuot.
Yeah, Shavuot. Okay.
Got it. Okay, I should have known that. My sister-in-law is an observant Jew, and I should have known that. Shame on me.
Yeah, I think it's back. I think it's back in effect tomorrow. I'll double check, but I think tomorrow it's back. It's been suspended for about 5 or 6 days in a row now. All right, on the Van Wyck southbound Rockaway Boulevard, an accident on that off-ramp. The right lane is out along with the ramp, a tractor-trailer and a car. Northbound on the BQE at Queens Boulevard, accident left and center. Southbound Route 21 at Chester Avenue, an accident. Two lanes are out with an accident investigation. Southbound West Side Highway at 96th Street, a five-car accident. The left lane is out. One of those vehicles is pretty well beat up. Southbound Deegan at Van Cortlandt Park, there's a crash with one lane out. And now delays on the B, the D, the N, the Q with a broken rail at 34th Street and alternate side of the street. Parking rules again today are suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Frank has some breaking news momentarily, but from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it is going to be a toasty day, 82 degrees and sunny skies. Tomorrow, 87 degrees, getting up to the near 90s with mostly sunny skies. Thursday, it cools off to a chilly 81 degrees with partly cloudy skies. Friday, we might have to get our coats out again. 78 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Maybe some rain on Saturday, but I'll keep you updated. Currently, 60 degrees in New York City, Frank.
Breaking news, WABC.
Well, we have just gotten the official word that something people have been speculating about for at least a couple of months will indeed happen. Andrew Giuliani officially announcing that he will be running for governor next year in the Republican primary here in New York State. And apparently he's confident that he can not only knock out the GOP competition, but then go on to take out scandal-ridden Governor Andrew Cuomo, telling the New York Post in an interview that was released just minutes ago, "I'm a politician out of the womb. It's in my DNA. Giuliani versus Cuomo. Holy smokes. It's Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier. We can sell tickets at Madison Square Garden." Andrew Giuliani is not only the son of our colleague who you could hear every day at 3 p.m., but former New York City mayor. He also served for 4 years as a White House aide to former President Donald Trump. He insisted that he is qualified to run despite having never before run or having held elective office. And he says that he has the best chance to topple the embattled three-term incumbent Andrew Cuomo.
Frazier and Ali, whose quote was that?
Andrew Giuliani's.
Well, okay. Say what you want about the politics behind it, but the science seems pretty clear. Texas recorded zero new COVID deaths for the first time since the pandemic began this past Sunday. Of course, the governor was under fire from some who said his lockdown lifting 2 months ago was dangerous, including President Biden, but clearly doesn't seem to be the case. Overall, infections and deaths across the country are dwindling, thanks in large part to one of the most successful vaccination programs in the world. The U.S. recorded fewer than 17,000 new cases on Sunday for the first time since March of 2020. So congratulations, America. Get vaccinated. And exciting news on the COVID battlefront. It comes from Australia. Researchers there, along with the U.S. team, have come up with a therapy that has killed off COVID in mice by 99.9%. The group used what they call a next-generation approach using gene silencing technology to attack the virus genome directly, which basically stops it from spreading. They liken it to a seek and destroy mission. The treatment could be available as early as 2023. Meantime, there's a new hypersensitive rapid test that can tell whether patients have COVID or just the regular flu. It's good news because it keeps you from having to take two tests. Now you only have to take one. Researchers at UC Santa Cruz say the test uses a fluorescent probe to search for antigens and can quickly help rule out one infection while at the same time confirming another.
Julia, do you shop at Kohl's?
I do. I love all those stores. Kohl's, Marshall's,
all right,
TJ Maxx.
My mom, same thing. My wife, she's a Kohl's fanatic.
Love them.
And now Kohl's is the largest store to pull the plug on its mask mandate. The company yesterday saying that vaccinated shoppers no longer need to wear a mask in the store. It's the same policy as Walmart and Target. Kohl's has required face masks since last July.
Will they be asking for proof of vaccination?
It doesn't say. It looks like they will be, as Walmart and Target are, relying on the honor system.
I mean, I feel like if I had a company or if I had a restaurant or something, I would say you have to prove to me that you've had your vaccine before you can get in. Because there are a lot of people that are just not going to be honest about this.
Well, there is. And I mean, I guess the good news is if you're vaccinated, you don't have to worry about your coworker not being vaccinated.
Not necessarily, but we'll get into that later. Okay, this is a crazy story. I'm guessing this next guy could give the guy that I told you about in Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40 a run for his money when it comes to FAA fines. A passenger on a JetBlue flight from JFK to San Francisco was arrested recently after, actually, let's just have the pilot tell us.
Bathroom trips, started antagonizing other passengers, and had the knife gesturing, stabbing motions towards the other passenger, and was also observed erratic behavior and snorting a white substance.
So witnesses say the passenger was a loudmouth, verbally abusive anti-masker who was sexually harassing a fellow flyer, and then apparently making these weird knife kind of, you know, movements, stabbing movements. He was getting up and down to do coke in the bathroom, allegedly, so many times that flight attendants actually found a packet of a white substance at his seat when he was in the bathroom. He'd apparently been disruptive at the gate. The situation was so tense on board that the pilot decided to divert the plane to Minneapolis, delaying the arrival in California for several hours.
I would like to be a passenger on that plane. Can you imagine?
No.
Well, schools across New Jersey won't be offering remote instruction next academic year. Governor Phil Murphy won't allow it. He's deciding not to renew the executive order that requires an online learning model, which was signed at the height of the coronavirus pandemic. He previously had said schools would need to fully reopen for the 2021-2022 school year.
The mother of the owner of the Ottawa Senators Hockey Club had a very bad vacation recently. So bad, Frank, that she and some of the other families of Eugene Melnyk are suing. A Christmas dream trip to the Bahamas turned into a nightmare, according to court documents. Family members blame the captain of the massive luxury yacht that they'd chartered. Guests say that they requested to take a different route in hopes of finding calmer seas, but apparently the seas were really rough. But instead, the angry and resentful, that's according to them, captain refused. He was incensed, apparently, that they were trying to tell him to do his job. And as a result, the claimants say that they were subjected to hours upon hours of waves pummeling the yacht. Passengers say that they were vomiting intensely, had vertigo, couldn't sleep, had severe anxiety, had to dodge shards of glass as deck chairs careened into the glass railings, experienced a feeling of being kidnapped, and just generally thought they were going to die. The suit alleges negligence, false imprisonment, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. I will definitely keep you updated on this one.
Legendary rocker Alice Cooper is planning to sell his rare Andy Warhol painting. Cooper recently announced he will be auctioning off the painting that was gifted to him in the 1970s, which was around the same time he met the artist. The painting is considered to be in near perfect condition and is expected to sell for as much as $4.5 million at auction.
Speaking of near perfect condition, Sid Rosenberg, Hollywood.
Come on now.
Joins us now with the sports report.
Thank you, Juliet. That's very, very sweet. And good morning to you too, Frank. Not often Gerrit Cole goes out there and throws out a stinker along with Jacob deGrom with the Mets. The Yankee ace, you could argue, has been the best pitcher in baseball this year. Not a great one last night, though. Five innings against the Texas Rangers. Gave up 5 earned runs on 7 hits. His ERA now above 2 after last night's loss. Only his second on the year. He's now 5-2. Here was Gerrit Cole after the 5-2 loss to Texas last night.
If there's one thing that stood out, it's just, you know, the ability to consistently execute like a string of pitches in a row and get the ball a little bit more to the corner, certainly with the breaking ball.
With the loss, the Yanks are now 22-19. They're in fourth place inside the American League East. The Mets are all beat up. I mean all beat up. But they found a way to win last night, beat the Braves 3-1. Tawan Walker, their starter, he's been great this year. Only lasted 3 innings. Had a lead with left side tightness. Kevin Pillar took a passball across the face. But the Mets win. 4 hits for the catchers, Nito and McCann. They're now at 19-16. The Mets are still a first-place team, 1 game up on the Phillies. NBA playoff games start tonight. The play-in games, Hornets and Pacers. The one we'll watch will be the Wizards and the Celtics because the winner of that one takes on the 2-seed Brooklyn Nets. Here's Marcus Smart of Boston on that series.
Obviously, you know, it's a place where we didn't expect ourselves to be, but we're here. So, you know, we got to deal with it and deal with what's in front of us. You know, it's 0-0. Everybody, you know, everybody gets an opportunity to start over and, you know, a fresh new plan for us.
The Western Conference playing games start tomorrow night, including the LeBron James champion Los Angeles Lakers taking on Golden State. Game 2 tonight from Pittsburgh. It's the Penguins and Islanders. Islanders won game 1 in overtime fashion. And finally, Bob Baffert, more trouble. Now suspended from entering his horses at any New York track after Medina Spirit tested positive for steroids after the Kentucky Derby win. No Belmont, no Aqueduct, no Saratoga. By the way, the horse also ran at last week's Preakness. Came in 3rd. Sports brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. PeerlessBoilers.com, PavilionTankless.com. They do build America's best boilers. Sports at 15 and 45. I'm Sid.
617, here's the traffic and transit with Joe.
Van Wyck southbound, extra heavy Rockaway Boulevard, an accident on that off-ramp, the right lane out as well. It's a tractor trailer and a car. On the west side highway, southbound at 96th Street, a seven-car accident. The left lane is out. One of the vehicles is really pretty well destroyed. So as you head southbound on the Van Wyck, rather on the west side highway, you got that. If you're traveling on the Deegan southbound or Van Cortlandt Park, an accident, one lane out. BQE northbound at Queens Boulevard, accident left and center. And we still have the Transit Authority delays on the B, the D, the N, the Q. That with a broken rail at 34th Street. And alternate side, once again today, is suspended. This report of service of NHTSA. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Law enforcement writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket. A message brought to you by NHTSA. With traffic on the sevens, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
That's clever. Click it or ticket. I like it. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, it is going to be 82 degrees and sunny today. Oh boy, it is going to be nice and toasty. And tomorrow, wait till you hear this, nearly 90 degrees. We're at probably a high of 87 on Wednesday, mostly sunny skies. Thursday, we're going to be hovering around the low 80s, 81-ish degrees, partly cloudy skies. Friday, 78 degrees with a mix of clouds and sun. Possible rain showers on Saturday. I'll keep you updated. And currently the temperature is 60 degrees in New York City, Frank.
Stock futures are moving up after Wall Street opened the week with modest losses yesterday. Dow futures are up 88 points, more than a quarter percent. And S&P 500 futures are up 14 points, more than a third percent. NASDAQ futures are up 98.50, which is three quarters of a percent. A new survey is revealing the financial toll the pandemic took on Americans. According to the Federal Reserve, 24% of Americans say the events of the last year made their financial situation worse off. That's 10 points higher than what it was when 2019 drew to a close. However, the numbers also reveal racial disparities. 80% of white people reported they were at least okay financially. That number was just 64% for both black and Hispanic Americans. And finally, the Federal Trade Commission says $80 million has been lost to cryptocurrency scams since last October. The FTC noted it only included scams reported to the agency, meaning that number could be even higher. The average consumer lost roughly $1,900 in the 7,000 reports filed. Scams particularly affected younger investors between the ages of 20 and 49, Juliet.
You know, I don't really follow horse racing in this kind of horsey world, but I know that Baffert, I did go to the Kentucky Derby, and I believe I went to Baffert's horse farm. I was with some high-level people at the time when I was with Fox. And I think Baffert was fined and suspended at one point by racing officials in Arkansas after a couple of his horses tested positive. And I think, like, in the past, I don't know, year or so, there have been five horses that failed drug tests or something. I don't, something like that.
Well, but we don't want his kind in New York State anymore.
No. But, Sid, what's the deal with this guy? I mean, is this
he's a winner. And as I tried to explain to Greg Kelly when he said, how do you lift all that weight? How do you look like that? You got to cheat once in a while, which freaked him out. By the way, wait, you do steroids? Yeah, I do. That's how you get to look like this. So it's the same thing with horses. You want to win the big races. You know, just a little edge could mean the difference between a fourth place finish at the Kentucky Derby and millions of dollars in a first place
but
finish.
But it's illegal. And if you're caught, then you lose the millions and millions of dollars. And then people are infuriated because they have place bets and the actual horse that won didn't win.
I mean, look, I get it. People getting infuriated doesn't bother people. It is what it is. So whether you're Barry Bonds or Bob Baffert or any one of these people, you're always looking for that competitive edge. Even a guy like me, a hack in the gym on the weekends, you know, so it's it doesn't really affect
such me. A different situation.
Yeah, I think
not
it's
really.
Radically different because
no, not.
You're not a competitive bodybuilder.
It wouldn't matter.
No,
if I was a baseball player.
If you're cheating at radio.
If I was a baseball player. Well, if somebody said to me, for example, okay, I can take a pill.
Yeah.
And be the best radio host ever. I don't need it because I already am. But let's say that was the case. I would take that pill every single day.
I know, but I understand. But you know, if you use a performance-enhancing drug to help you work out, that's not helping you best the competition. That's helping your own vanity.
It's true. You're right. But the point is, so go with the pill with the radio thing. Given the opportunity, look, they took a poll years and years ago of Olympic athletes, okay? And they said, here's the deal. We're going to guarantee you a gold medal this upcoming Olympics, you're guaranteed a gold medal if you cheat. But whatever you do to your body is going to take 20 years off your life. 20 years, not 5, not 10, 20. 87% of the Olympic kids that were polled there said, give me the gold medal.
Okay, but look at Lance Armstrong. He is a laughingstock now because he cheated throughout his career.
Yeah, but you know what? But he had 20 years of being on top of the world. He was the man.
But and he's if a he didn't joke. Cheat, but he if said he didn't he's a man with basically a ghost of a career.
Well, listen, he still has millions and millions of dollars. He couldn't care less. And if he didn't cheat in the first place, maybe he never would have won one of those races, let alone four or five, and enjoyed all those great years. So, I mean, he'd just be another guy.
This conversation is just crazy.
You are the pro Medina spirit.
I am. I'm all for it.
All right.
I'm
all for it. What's coming up on the Bernie and Sid show? What are you going to be cheating at today?
Well, we have a major announcement coming from, major. He kind of hinted at this a couple of weeks ago on our show. But Andrew Giuliani will have his first, he's running for governor. And he will join me and Bernie. It will be the first radio show that he announces this morning that he's officially running for governor. So throw him into the mix with Rob Astorino and Lee Zeldin, all these fine Republicans. Rudy Giuliani's son, Andrew Giuliani, at 8:40 will announce officially right here on Bernie and Sid he's running for governor.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
So you've had Zeldin on the day of his announcement,
yes.
Astorino on the day of his announcement, and
yes.
Now Andrew yeah. Giuliani the day of his announcement.
Yeah, it turns out that Giuliani's PR guy is my PR guy, a guy named Adam Weiss. And what's funny about that is I got at 1:45 this morning, I got the contract for my second book deal. Literally 1:45 this morning.
Congratulations.
Well, I was all excited about it till I saw that Andrew Cuomo got $5.1 million.
What a colossal joke.
Oh, yeah. The numbers in my book don't even come close to that. But nevertheless, it's the same guy, Adam Weiss, who gets us Giuliani. Bo Dietl will also stop by today. So it'll be a fun Tuesday morning, guys, with Bernie and Sid.
Wow, and that is for sure. Bo Dietl and Andrew Giuliani all in one show. We'll see what happens. And also Sid's commentary on the Medina spirit situation. Juliet, anything else that you want to comment on before
get out of here? I mean, I got to tell you, a 15th century nobleman took the whole till death to us part thing to just a whole new level. Researchers at the Fitzwilliam Museum at Cambridge University say Duke Francis I of Brittany wiped away the memory of his first wife, Yolanda. The two were married for 9 years in the mid-1400s. I remember that wedding. It was lovely. But after Yolanda died, the Duke remarried Isabella Stuart, who was, of course, the daughter of King James I of Scotland. You know, kind of a bigwig. And after doing so, he took that manuscript with illustrations of Yolanda and replaced them with those of Isabella. Museum staffers say they noticed the book had some oddities and decided to use infrared imaging to see what was going on. And that's when the museum's curator says the underdrawing of wife number uno was revealed. The Duke's marriage to Izzy, though, didn't last very long. He died 8 years later.
I do want to mention the Bernie and Sid preview that you just heard from Sid Rosenberg is brought to you by Peerless Boilers. They do some tremendous, tremendous stuff at Peerless Boilers. Big thank you to Pete Morgan for his sponsorship of this program. So the Bernie and Sid show coming up at 6:30. What do you have going on the rest of the day for you, Juliet?
I have a meeting about my Jet Set Juliet travel show a little bit later on today at 1:00. Which I'm very excited about. We're taking this whole thing. We're taking it into the studio, man. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to have video and pictures and lots of guests. It's going to be very cool.
Well, it's going to be an interesting day ahead radio-wise. We got Eric Adams, the leading candidate for mayor, on with Dominic Carter tonight at midnight. We have our former colleague, Curtis Sliwa, who's going to be riding the subways 24 hours straight, calling in to the other side of midnight. And we have the newest candidate for governor, Andrew Giuliani, coming up on the Bernie and Sid show. And, of course, it's always exciting whenever we talk traffic with Joe Nolan. Have a good day, Juliet. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you very much. See everybody tomorrow. Here comes Joe Nolan with traffic. In transit on the 7s.
On to the southbound side of the West Side Highway. We're jammed up now from the Cross Bronx all the way down to the 90s. 7 cars involved in this accident. The 2 left lanes are out, and northbound the left lane is out with emergency equipment. If you're on the Van Wyck southbound at Rockaway Boulevard, tractor-trailer car accident, that off-ramp and right lane going to be out on the Deegan. 2 separate problems. 2 accidents, 1 southbound at Van Cortlandt Park with 1 lane out, then northbound approaching the Cross Bronx. If you're on the Brooklyn Queens Expressway, there's a crash up by Queens Boulevard. Left and center lanes are out. And then southbound on Route 21 coming down to Chester Avenue, exit 4 in Newark, an accident with an accident investigation and alternate site again today is suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.